This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Yes, Father, thank you that we can come into your presence. Know that you love us. Know that you've given your Son so that we may have life. We ask, Lord, that as we come in your presence, that you will open our eyes of our understanding, that you will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that we may grasp this great love that you have for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we shared around this inheritance that we have, that as God called Paul to become a minister of the gospel so that those who hear may turn from darkness to light, to the power of Satan, to the power of God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance. And so we started to explore just this amazing concept of salvation, not just being part of forgiveness, but also being part of an inheritance. And so we started to look at what is this inheritance. Last week we read in 1 Peter 1 from 3 to 5, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice." And so we started to look at what is this inheritance in heaven. So this morning I want to continue with just what exactly is this inheritance. We spoke about the fact that this inheritance creates hope and joy in us, and we spend some time on how it's possible for this to be true and the reality of this inheritance that creates in us hope, because our inheritance is not on earth but in heaven. But what exactly is this inheritance that not only produces hope in us but great joy? Of course, our salvation is, our inheritance is linked to our salvation. Our salvation qualifies us for this great inheritance. But our inheritance has more than one aspect. And I guess this morning I want to start with one of the aspects of our inheritance as we continue to just trust God to reveal to us more through His Word what exactly is this that we have been promised. One aspect of our inheritance is this amazing gift of eternal life that gives us great joy and great hope. In the midst of this world, even in the midst of suffering, there is great hope and great joy because of inheritance kept for us in eternity. And part of this inheritance is this amazing gift of eternal life. The Word of God describes eternal life in different ways. Eternal life is often contrasted in Scripture with being dead. Dead in our trespasses, dead in our sins. It is something that the Word of God describes in the contrast of the two. And so we read here in Romans chapter 6, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We are either dead in our trespasses or we are alive in Christ. And before I want to continue with this, there's such a rich and powerful concept of being in Christ. It's not just faith in Christ, it is being in Christ through faith that is a present continuous reality. But again, we see the contrast. We are either dead in our sin and our trespasses, or we are alive in Christ Jesus. We either face the consequence of death or the consequence of faith, or the consequence of sin, which is death, or the consequence of faith in Christ, which is eternal life. It is a gift. Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 10, I'm just going to read to verse 3 for now, is he made, and you he made alive. And then the contrast, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit in our works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. And so we see the contrast, that those without eternal life are condemned, lost, and will perish. But then we know John 3, verse 15 to 16 so well. And I want us just to note again the contrast between the two. Verse 15 says, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The contrast between the two. John 3 verse 36 says, he who believes in the Son has eternal life. He who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. So what we see in the Word of God is that eternal life is the opposite of facing the wrath of God and perishing in hell. It is the opposite. It's called eternal life. And this in itself gives us great joy that we know that we have the opposite of the wrath of God and perishing in eternal hell, but we have eternal life. This in itself causes great joy in us, knowing that we know where we are going. And what is so amazing is that we have received this gift given to us by grace and not through works. It is a gift given to us that we access through faith. It does not have to be earned or achieved through works. It is given by grace. This gives us great hope and great joy. Let's go back to John 3 verse 15 to 16. It says that whoever believes in him, because it's accessed through faith, whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This grace is accessed through faith in Christ. But you know, eternal life is far more than the escape of hell. Man always had a yearning to live forever. We see that in men when they reach 40. Women, every morning when they face the mirror. And this whole ritual of becoming younger through all the things that we put on. We've always had this yearning to be forever young. But eternal life is more than life forever. The Greek word for eternal, anoios, means more than quantity. It also carries this idea of quality. Eternal life is more than the number of years. Eternal life can function, well, outside and beyond time, as well as within time. Eternal life is something that can be experienced right now. We do not have to wait for eternal life one day in the future. It does not start after death. The Word of God defines eternal life as something that begins the moment of salvation. The moment you give your life to God, you have eternal life. The moment you are born again, the moment you become a new creation in Christ, you have eternal life. We read in 1 John 5 from verse 11, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. You see, Christ is the source of eternal life. And through faith in Him, we are raised to new life. And if you've been to a baptism, you would know John or Romans chapter 6 speaks so powerfully of this reality. But John chapter 3 verse 36 says, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life." It's very important to note that the believer has present tense eternal life. It's not just something that you will have. It is something you have the moment you put your faith, your trust, you give your life to God, and you are born again. You become a new creation in Christ. You have eternal life. I check this verb in Greek. It's also the present tense. The focus of eternal life is not so much on our future, but our current relationship in Christ. Our current present relationship in Him. Eternal life cannot be separated from the person of Jesus Christ. He is eternal life. And those who are in Him has eternal life. You cannot have the one without the other. It is in this relationship with Him that we have life, because He is life. Oh, and if you've been in this church long enough, you should know John chapter 1 off by heart by now. But in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. Why? Because in Him was life. And that life is the light of men, and the light shines into the darkness, and darkness cannot overcome Him. You see, Christ is the life. In Christ is life. That's why everything that was made through Him, because He is the source of life. And this Christ continues and lives forever. He was before time, and He will continue after time. He is the source of life. And therefore, whoever is in Him has life forever, because He continues forever. I have this life as long as I am in Him. This really boils down to a living relationship with God. It's not about a vow. It's not about a commitment. It's about a relationship. That's called salvation. And therefore, we find the clearest definition of eternal life in John 17, verse 3. If you search the Scriptures for a definition of what exactly is this eternal life, this is the clearest definition. "And this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom You have sent." This is eternal life, that they may know You, that they may have a relationship with You. And we can know God right now. Therefore, we can have eternal life right now. Not just the quantity, but the quality of life. It's more than quantity, the length of life. It is the quality of life. That quality of life is found in knowing God. So my joy for this great inheritance, this eternal life that I have in Christ Jesus, is not just the joy of what I will experience one day. It is a joy that I'm experiencing right now. Right now, I know of God. I know God. And the more I know Him, the more His joy is full in me. As we grow in our knowledge and our experience of God, so does our joy grow in this life. Because He is eternal life. Not only have I been saved from death, we have been made alive in Christ, seated with Him in heavenly places. I think somebody brought that word earlier. And as we grow in this relationship and knowing of God, this life and the joy that it brings grows in us because eternal life is found in Him. And so we have been given new life. But with this new life, not just joy, but new purpose. When we are born again, when we become a new creation, when the eternal life fills my life, I also have new purpose. And so I want us to read again Ephesians chapter 2, but this time all the way to verse 10. And you He made alive. You were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace, His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created afresh new in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You see, with new life, eternal life, comes new purpose. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This new purpose is to live my life for Him. And as I do, I discover more of Him. And as I discover more of Him, I know, and His joy fills me more and more. My joy becomes exceedingly great because of knowing Him. There is nothing greater. And so I want to ask the ushers to hand out the communion for us. As we consider that part of our inheritance that we have been given through faith in Christ is this amazing gift of eternal life. Eternal life with Him, not just one day, but today. This relationship with Him gives me great joy. It gives us great joy. And we all can have not only the assurance of eternal life, we can also have a down payment, a dividend of this relationship right now. Yes, one day when we see Him face to face, our joy will be complete. But in the meantime, as we grow in our knowledge with Him, so does this joy that the world does not understand. we all can have not only the assurance of eternal life, we can have this life, a down payment of it right now. This great joy, a joy inexpressible, not only for the life to come, but for the life right now. It is part of that inheritance that we have in Him. It's part of that that is far greater than anything than we can have in this world. We so easily are distracted by what we can gain here, if only we realize what we have for eternity. How can you know that you have eternal life? Well, the Word of God makes that clear. The way we have assurance of eternal life is first of all to confess our sins before a holy God. To confess the reality that we do not have it in ourselves, but that we are sinners. But also to have faith in the sacrifice that God has made for us so that we can have eternal life, that it is not found in us, it is found in Him, and that He has made a way for us to have eternal life, and that is through faith in the sacrifice of His Son. And as we accept God's provision and we follow Him as Lord and Savior, we have this assurance of eternal life. That is where we have our eternal life. This life in Christ is not just for one day. It is also for right now. And as we grow in knowing Him, we grow in this great joy. And how do we grow in knowing God? Well, we grow in spending time with Him. We grow in His presence. We grow as we study His Word, the revelation of who He is by the help of the Holy Spirit, as it brings revelation and understanding of who He is, what He has given us, and who He continues to be. We grow in our knowledge of Him. And as we follow what we read and discover and is revealed to us, it is in that knowing, discovering, and following that we grow in this relationship. And so does our joy. And you will know this great joy increasing day by day as the Holy Spirit reveals who He is and you grow in your relationship with Him. But I want to end up with this. This life is not found in this world. It's only found in Him. That life brings with it a fullness, a wholeness, and a joy that cannot be found in this world. Someone shared this word this morning when Jesus stood up and He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me. Preach the good news to the poor." This is good news. To bring healing to the brokenhearted. To set the captive free. To bring sight to the blind. And to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. It's all good news. It brings great joy, but it's only found in Him. Let us close our eyes. Father, we thank You for Your great love towards us, Your mercy and Your grace, that while we were still sinners, dead in our trespasses, You gave Your Son. You gave Your Son so that we may have life in Him and through Him and because of Him. Oh Lord, we are mindful of the sacrifice that You have made. Lord, we are mindful of the fact that You took our sin and the consequence of our sin, death, the wrath of God poured out upon You so that we may be free. God, as we eat this bread, Lord, we remember the cost of this great gift as we eat together in Jesus' name. Oh Lord, we thank you for this cup that represents your blood, your sacrifice that was spilled for us so that we may have life. God, this morning, as we again are faced by this great gift of eternal life, Lord, we want to extend our hearts, our faith, and our trust in it, in you, the sacrifice for us. While all the eyes are closed, if you are here this morning and you're not sure of your salvation, you're not sure of eternal life, today is an opportunity for you to simply take that step of surrender. Will you come before God and say, God, I admit that I am a sinner. I want to give my life to you. I want to accept this sacrifice. I want to take this cup and drink it. It's salvation, it's life that it brings to me. If that is you this morning and you are not sure of salvation and you want to be sure, I just want you to respond to God right now by raising your hand. Say, God, here I am. I am desperate for this life. I want it. I choose to believe what you have done for me. If that is you, I just want you to respond just where you are. Just raise your hand between you and God. Nobody is looking. This is between you and God. Is there anyone? Thank you for that hand. Is there anyone else? You can drop that hand. Thank you for that hand. Is there anyone else? God, I thank you that today, Lord, as people are trusting you, putting their faith in your word concerning your Son and his great salvation, Lord, I thank you for everyone who takes this cup, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that your blood will wash them clean. Your Spirit will fill them, and they will be born again to become a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Lord, I thank you for this day, Lord, as we all take this cup and we claim this sacrifice for ourselves, our faith and our loyalty to you. In Jesus' name, let us drink together. Father, I thank you that this life is not just for days to come, but it is for right now. And Lord, I want to pray for each and every one of us, Lord, who yearns for this joy inexpressible that keeps on growing in the midst of suffering and circumstances, in the midst of this world, that it cannot be quenched because you cannot be quenched. You do not go away. You remain forever. Lord, I pray for each and everyone here today. If you have a desire to grow in your relationship with Him so that you may experience this joy, inexpressible joy. God, I just pray for every heart right now, Lord, that wants to. God, I pray, Lord, that we will respond not to a sermon, but to your invitation to come to you every day. Every day you have a sermon. Every day you have life. Every day there is new life in your word, like the manna to your people, Lord. It doesn't last. It is fresh every day, Lord, and you give it every day. Lord, I pray for us, Lord, that we will have a hunger and a thirst for more of you. More of you, God, in our life. More of knowing, relating, living, loving, experiencing you in us, God. So I just pray for each and every person here today, Lord, that we will have this hunger and that we will pursue your presence. We will pursue the knowledge of you, Lord. We will open your word every day with an expectation that, Holy Spirit, you will come and give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Grant us understanding to see you more, to know you more, Lord. Give us the faith to follow that what we see, that we may have this life forever, not just when we die, but right now, right here. Thank you, God, that it is available. Lord, so I pray for each and every one of us, Lord, that we will leave this place with an expectation for more, more of you, that we will not be satisfied with what we have and what we know, but that we want more, more of you, Lord. More of you, that we will not grow stale, not grow content with that what we know, but always seeking more of you. God, I pray for that for each and everyone. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.